Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, this radio program, as we like to call it, I think we call it a radio program, is being recorded for Sunday, March 19th, 2017. Yeah, we're going to be talking about our values, or what is a value, and that's a very important thing when you come to understand the nature of the meaning of life. What are values? What are we talking about here? What is the value of your life? And we'll talk about that in a moment. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as is our TV programs and everything we do on the Aspire website, is here for humankind, to serve humankind in all sorts of different ways. Me going to hospice and these radio programs, our TV programs, everything we do, our podcasts, videocasts, commentaries, all of this is there for you. If you go to the website at aspire.org and even look at some of the blogs we have placed up there that I have made over the years, I think you'll find it kind of interesting. There's always something on the Aspire website to be of service to you, whether it be radio programs or TV or the blog. Anyway, all of this is supported by and made possible by sponsors. And I want to thank my sponsors for being so kind, so generous. And I hope that you become a sponsor. There are so many benefits. If you are finding help or any kind of inspiration through what we offer here on Aspire, I hope you will come to help us support our efforts. It's very, very important. And now for all people who are sponsors, you get 122 discourses that I've done over the, my golly, 30 years I've been doing TV. And you can listen to them. You can download them. They're yours for free for being a sponsor. And I'm so happy we were able to mechanically get this thing going. It has shocked the heck out of me. It took a long time because each program had to be downloaded and, you know, sunk and technified and leified and glorified in some way in order to make it possible for you to download them. Anyway, they're all there for you as a way of saying thank you. And there's a lot of benefit and value in all of it. So I hope you will avail yourself of it. Have a wonderful time with these kind of books on CD and enjoy and find inspiration through the offerings. Value. What is value? What are we talking about here? Well, if you look up the word value, it means the regard for something that is held to deserve the importance or the worth or the usefulness of something. And what is valuable? You know, a lot of times the things that are most valuable are least understood or least valued in this world. And the things that are useless and most invaluable are the things that most people are very interested in. It's kind of a sad commentary on us, but it is true. So let's take a look at some of the questions. I got these questions over the last month or two. They're very interesting, and they come from all over, although not many people are telling me where they're listening from, so forgive. First one comes from Jesse, and he lives in Washington State. If life is not about family and friends and good times, then what is it, Greg? I'm not ready to sit on some mountain with loincloth and meditate for the whole day, or even for the rest of my life. What about those of us who have value in just everyday living? Jesse. Jesse, the pedestrian mentality is rampant. And the pedestrian mentality takes on the attitude that life is about eat, drink, and be merry. You gather the wagons around the campfire, your family, in order to sustain some sense that you are not alone. Maybe a way of looking at your life and feeling like you have family, you're protected or whatever. I think the fear of loneliness is a very huge commodity in this earthly realm that we live in. And we value the idea of anything that frees us from being, shall we say, occupied. We don't want to be alone. We don't want to have any moments where there is kind of a gap, a pause, a void. We just don't want it. We're so insecure because we have aggrandized ourselves through our gratifications to such a degree that we become immune to what it means to truly be alone and to live in not the loneliness, but the aloneness of finding ourselves as pure emptiness, pure beauty, pure love. We like emotional love. We are not much interested in anything other than emotional love. So with emotional love comes all sorts of difficulties in our life. We want the love that makes us feel important, special. We want to be adored, and we want to be adored at such a level that we can make all sorts of inner mistakes and outer mistakes, and people will help us and love us and yada-da, yada-da, yada-da. We live in a fairyland of wanting things the way we want them to be. So you say to me, if life is not about family and friends and good times, then what is it? The meaning of your life is subjective to your karma. Now, I can't tell you exactly, Jesse, what your life is all about or what you're here for. I can't tell you because I don't know you. I don't live as Jesse. I think if I hung around you a little bit, I probably might get an ebb and a flow here and there, but that's about it. I don't know. But this I do know. Everybody has a purpose in this life. And until you're ready to find that, until you're fatigued and tired and no longer find eat, drink, and be merry mentality important to you or sustaining to you, you won't go after it. I'm not asking you. I love what you said here. And it's, Jesse, it's really the reason I took your question, that you didn't want to sit on a mountaintop in a loincloth meditating. I understand that. Hell, I don't want to sit on a mountaintop in a loincloth. That would be gross. Meditate. You don't have to do that. You can live in this world, but not of it. You can live in this world and function and do everything that you do. Have friends, have family. You can have all of that. But you have to understand, it isn't the idea that these things are the most important things that occupy you. The object is not to be occupied by objects, people, and things. The object is to enjoy those beautiful things, but also to take a moment to know who you are. If you know who you are, nothing in this world will ever hurt you. If you and I don't know who we are, everything in this world will hurt us. Now, that's the choice we have. It's all or none. And if I live in dualistic thinking, in right over wrong, good over bad, what I like over what I don't like, then I miss everything that is substantial to my living. I miss everything that is congruent to my heart and my soul. Because in the end of life, in the end of our existence in a body, everything that you love, Jesse, will die. Everything will be gone. I guarantee it. And the things that you enjoyed, you won't remember like you do right now while you're enjoying it. You won't remember how much fun that all was. You'll remember it as a kind of memory, but it's kind of like experiencing food when your tongue is numbed out due to maybe a dental issue. You know, it's half asleep. Have you ever had that where your tongue is half asleep and the other half is kind of there but not? And you try to eat something, you can't taste it, you can't. It's awful. And that's the way it is. I work at hospice, Jesse. I have worked there for many years. I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about people. I can tell you that most people die in regret, not remorse, regret. They would do it again the same way over and over and over again without any kind of doubt in their mind that they're doing the best they can. So you got to look at your life a little bit, and I can't make you do that, and I can't reason with you in order to sustain what I'm trying to tell you here. It just isn't in the cards. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that what I'm saying is oh so very true, that most of us live in the misdemeanors of our misguided efforts to try to find happiness through stuff and people and objects and things. And we miss. We absolutely miss. Now, when you're ready and you've looked at your life and you see everything as you see it and you've kind of done what you've done and you recognize the bigger picture and all of that other stuff and you see things for the way they are, then and only then will you as a person be willing to go sit on the mountain. I don't know if it's going to be in a loincloth, but you will. You have to be sick of your own sickness. And if you're not sick of your own sickness, you will miss everything that is pertinent and important. And that's all I can say to you on that. As Forrest Gump would say, and that's all I have to say. That's all I can say. Jesse, you are wonderful, and I loved your little sarcasm. I really did, and I want to thank you for it. It makes me giggle. Please forgive me. Namaste. I wonder, you've heard about these trips to, you know, the Himalayas, where everybody, you know, gets to the top of the Himalayas, but I wonder if the same kind of trip, let's say, to a distant mountain to wear a loincloth and meditate would be as popular as climbing up to the Himalayas. Probably not. Okay, Tess. She does not tell me where she lives. Do I have to give up everything that I love and like to awaken? Did you? Tess. I don't know, Tess, what you love. And I don't know if what you love is helpful to you or not. I don't know you. But since you asked, I, like anyone else in this world, came in and found myself resisting what I was supposed to be doing. I could feel it inside the course of my life, but it didn't mesh with the human part of me. So for a while, probably all of my youth into my, mid-40s, I lived trying to be happy like anyone else. I had seen many things that were beautiful. I'd seen many spiritual things that were touching, and I knew what was possible, but I didn't know how to live those possibilities until I finally had to give up the whole shamata of what I believed life should be. And what you got to give up is the idea of what you want your life to be in order to compensate you for the lack of awareness you might have, or compensate you and me for our emotionality, which isn't doing the job, as it were. Our emotions are very interesting things. They present to us all sorts of needs and wants and yearnings. And then when we follow those emotions and we fulfill all of those needs and wants and yearnings, all of a sudden they're not enough again. And we need more, and we want more, and we want more. And a lot of people don't know what to do, so they just keep on trying to get what they want. Their whole life is the pursuit of getting what they want, trying to find some sense of contentment or accomplishment. But that will never be enough. It will appease maybe a little bit of our emotionality, but we have other issues going on. And eventually in the background, we hear that little voice saying, in my case, you know, you didn't do what you're here to do. You're not living according to the manner of your spirit. You know, I didn't really understand that until I went along a little further and started losing things that I emotionally loved. Once I started losing those things, I started to mature. Because I could see the futility of wanting to either replace them or get better ones. And once that became very clear to me, which it did, my whole life changed. And everything in my life changed. I could see the error of my ways. I could see how I was thinking and how I was believing and what I was doing. I could see it. And it was very, very difficult for me in the beginning to really realize that. Had I realized that years ago, things would have been different. But you know what? Everything I have found, and this is really true, Tess, everything that happens to us has to happen to us the way it occurs. It just has to. It can't occur any other way. Or I wouldn't be the person I am. So I had to go through many trials and tribulations. I had to give up many things that I thought I loved, that I thought I wanted, that I was fervent about, emotionally speaking. Then when I realized what I was doing and how this was all working out and the silliness of my pursuits, I realized, oh my gosh, nothing is happening the way I think it is. And it does me no good at all to sit here and want things to change when they can't. They can only be as they are. Once I understood that, and I caught the nature of that, that's when things started to really become beautiful. And that can happen for anyone. And now I never turn back and think, oh, I wish that, I am grateful for the way everything turned out. I am humbled, deeply humbled. And I'm going to say something to you you need to hear. There is something within each and every one of us that is trying to help us, that is protecting us. There are things that we have said and done that were unkind, to say the least, and ugly. And we haven't been punished for those things at all. There is a mercy in this world to help us. When I understood that and had the direct experience of that through non-dualistic thinking, that is when everything changed. Your life changes. My life changes. Everything becomes magnificent and beautiful. Sometimes you have to give up the things you love. I don't know what you love. I don't know what you're referring to, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we just have to give up the things that we thought we couldn't live without. And when you find out that you can really live without those things, the value of your life and the value of your essence, your true state of being, becomes so clear. In that clarity is the goodness of your heart. And I'm going to tell you, Tess, you can live off the goodness of that heart. It doesn't need anybody to tell you that you're a this-a or a that-a. It doesn't need any confirmation from the outer world. Once you know the goodness of your heart, you have found the way of your life, the beauty of your life, the significance of it. And once that significance has been gained and realized, that's when things really start to change. The value of a human being's life is infinite. And I hope that in some way in your life, before you leave your body in this world, that you find that. Please forgive me. Namaste. That was a great question. Tess, that was really good. Thank you. Last question comes from Justin in Colorado. How can I love when there are so many haters in this world? It's overwhelming. Shouldn't we organize and do something? Justin. Well, Justin, we're already organized through our karma. We're in pods with other people due to our karma. And we sit in these pods, very organized, doing what we're doing. And we can keep doing this kind of thing over and over and over again, and thinking that when we are defying the haters, that we're not haters, but we become haters by defying them. So you think you're not a hater. You don't think this question is kind of a backhanded hatred kind of thing? You don't think so? You're saying here, how can I love like, no, I can't do it. When there are so many haters, they keep me from being loving. That means you're a hater. That means you're hating people. You're hating the situation. You're hating this whole thing. Nothing's changed. You're just doing your hate thing. And if that is the case, which it sounds like to me it is, you need to reappraise yourself. Take a look. What am I hating? What is this hate all about? What am I actually doing here? Buddha said it best. See how you love. Justin, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. That's the teachings of the master. And it is so perfect and so beautiful. Because it is the way I love that determines the meaning of my life. So you have to decide what's really going on here, my dear man. I can't tell you. You have to look at everything and decide, are you the hater? And if you are, then you need to correct that ASAP, I guess. I don't know. See how you love. Do you have people you hate? People you love. Do you have people you like? People that you love. People you prefer to be around, people that you love, people that you don't prefer to be around, people that you think you love. All of this, just take a look at it. A lot of it is just silliness on my part and your part. It's dualistic thinking. It causes me to live in delusion and illusion. And then the next thing you know, I'm off in la-la land. No, no, no. Don't do that, Justin. Excuse me. Don't. Do that. Just let love live you. Find love in your heart. And then don't worry about the other people. Don't depend upon others to make you feel loving or to give you what you won't give yourself, which is consciousness. People cannot give you consciousness. You and I have to, quote unquote, get that for ourselves. Meditation, conscious living. The pursuit of letting go of dualistic thinking, no longer getting emotional about everything. These are the things that promote well-being inside and promote love. Let love live you. I say this always to people. They don't even understand what that means. You've allowed hate to live you, my dear friend. You think that you're different than others, but you're not. You're just like the majority of people who just use hate to defy hate. And that won't work. And we see it now vividly in our politics and in everything that affects our world. We see it vividly. Be wise. Justin, thank you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope this radio program helped you. And if it did, I hope you'll consider becoming a sponsor and helping us to serve humankind in this way. I am out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. And once again, of course, as always, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.